Okay. Okay, you're okay. Thank you. Okay. Well, as Monica said, I'm a medical doctor. I'm also a professional engineer. And years ago, I used to practice as a professional engineer. And I inadvertently became a world-recognized expert in sewage treatment. When they ran into problems, they used to phone me from London, England, Florida, New York, Los Angeles, you name it, Chicago, whenever they ran into problems, because we had the strongest sewage per capita of anywhere in the world, and they wanted to know about it and to have their problem solved. Now, I used to say it may be sewage to you, but it was bread and butter to me. And it was a case of, as a doctor, it's rather interesting, you know, and contrasting to an engineer, you have a different form of letters and approaches. And as an engineer, piles for the piers, where there was things that they punched down all the way down with a pile driver and put buildings and wharfs and everything. And then as a doctor, piles for the piers meant hemorrhoids in my colleagues, and so we have to try and keep things a little separated here. Okay, now, do I have the clicker? That's what I need.
I have to point, hope it works, because you're not very close.
Okay. Well, this way I can see without turning my whole body around. I can just get good neck exercise tonight. Now we're going to find out. As we say, this is going to be the immune system. And I've got a real big book at home that's one of the university study books for immunity. And it was interesting. It's got an excellent index in it, page after page. And I went through it in vain to find the word vitamin, mineral, nutrition, anything like that related to it whatsoever. So it has been through reading an awful lot of stuff that I've come up with some of the little flow charts that we'll show you a little later. Now, good. Okay. Well, immune. The word immune originally meant free from taxes. And I kind of like that thought. And unfortunately, tonight will not tell you how to get that kind of immunity. The immune system is a body, wide network of cells and organs, plus fluids, that defends against attacks by foreign invaders. So we have a system that is acting as a defense system in us that will prevent, or at least to help protect us from these foreign attacks. Now, these invaders can be external or internal. How do you get external ones? Slivers? Infection? If it came from the outside. But from inside, some of the things we swallow and set things up as well. So, and what are they? Well, here they are. In health, the attackers of the immune defenses are bacteria, such as streptococcus, viruses, such as herpes or simplex or cold sores, that type of thing, flus, fungi, such as your yeast or candida infections, parasites, schistosomiasis. Do you know what schistosomiasis is? That's a little worm you get when you swim in Alberta lakes in the summertime when there's a lot of green on top. And this little worm gets on your skin and you get your swimmer's itch, because when it bores in your skin, it dies. And then as it dies, the body sets up an immune system and you used to scratch away to beat the band until the body's managed to clear it away from you. And they come from snails, incidentally. And where do the snails get them? Well, they get them from cows that go to the lake to drink and leave their little deposits after they have left. And that's parasites. And we have a whole host of others. If you've got a cat or a dog, you almost invariably have parasites. I remember once when we have four children, and when our two boys were about so high, you know, that four kids like to wake up very early on Christmas Day. And what happens? They get you up. You've been up late at night setting everything under the tree, and you get no sleep. So we figured we've got to get some sleep. So we used to, they'd have their Christmas stockings hanging at the foot of the bed. And so we'd hang those up. And this particular night, of course, the two boys hadn't bothered going to sleep, just pretended, and we filled their stockings, and they got flashlights. Suddenly, down running the stairs comes our young son, and he says, "Dad, Dad, Mark's got worms." And I said, "How do you know?" "Well, I saw them." And of course, as a doctor, I know where he was looking. His older brother had said, "Gee, when I go to bed at night, I get a lot of itch back there." And so now that they'd opened up their two stockings earlier and had these flashlights, young son, being quite experimental, says, "Well, let me have a look." And when he looked, he could see, because pinworms like to migrate right to the anus at night, you see. So he could see these little white things wiggling around, and he came roaring down. And when I said to him, "How do you know?" His face really dropped. So, okay, well, that's another one from cats and dogs. You can get them. And then foreign bodies such as slivers and pieces of glass and everything else. Okay, now the next here is, if the immune system is sick, it may then attack normal tissue. Okay, and this is what occurs in rheumatoid arthritis, in asthma, in dermatitis, in eczema, in lupus, and you can keep on going in the so-called autoimmune disease. And in this case, the immune system is sick, it can't recognize what it should recognize, and so it starts to attack normal tissue. And you can see the poor thing there ending up in bed. It's had an attack. Now, again, in health, the immune system has the ability to distinguish between the self and non-self. Okay? Every body cell carries specialized molecules that distinguish it as self, and they sit on the surface of the cells. But other cells come along, like our immune cells, they'll come along and they'll look and say, "Oh, yeah, I recognize that. That's us." And so it won't attack it. So all the cells have a specialized molecule that distinguishes that self as belonging to the body. In health, however, the body defenses do not attack our cells that carry the self marker. And that's what they call these little things on the outside, self markers. Foreign bodies also carry their own markers, and that protrudes from their surface as well. And particularly the bacteria and the fungi and the viruses that we talked about. Now, we've done that one. Aha. Now, that is a picture. And you know something? Our printer missed a few of these ones. Well, now I want to just show you what this is. That is the outline of a cell showing some of the markers. And I show you this to show that it's quite complicated. And if I get right up to here, I'm going to read some of these to you just to give an indication. You've got major and minor histocompatibility antigens. You've got what they call inappropriate histocompatibility antigens. You've got tissue-specific antigens. You've got private antigens, and I don't know what that means, and retrogenic antigens, blood group antigens, differentiation. The blood group antigen, if you you can't see it probably from down there, but this little antigen here is the one that determines that you can that encoded as a result of partly being exposed. So you can tell that that's just a portion of them, that the immune system is quite a complex unit. Okay? Now, the immune system has an amazing ability to recognize millions of nasties, otherwise known as non-self markers. They've got markers, and they don't belong to this body. Then the immune system says, "Uh-oh,
That's a non-self marker. As far as it's concerned, that's a nasty. And you can see down here at the bottom right, a little group of nasties, sort of in the form of ants, really. But when the nasty is recognized, that's the non-self marker, the system can produce products that can match and counteract these non-self markers. In other words, our system will produce a marker that counteracts the surface marker on something that shouldn't be there, like the bacteria or the virus, okay? Now, any substance that triggers an immune response, like the non-self marker, the little surface marker on something that doesn't belong in you, that triggers an immune response from our body. In other words, our defense mechanism starts to say, hey, we've been invaded, then that's called an antigen. The antigen is what generates the antibody, and it is on the foreign stuff that shouldn't be there. It's on the nasty, if you want to call it that. So an antigen, therefore, includes the previous list of bacteria to foreign bodies. Or I should say, list from bacteria to foreign bodies. Okay? And we listed strep, staph, viruses, yeast. So it includes that list, the antigens. So, and also, an antigen can be just a portion of an antigen can also trigger an immune response by our body. Now, click. I did. Okay. The product the body makes to counteract this antigen or this foreign cell marker. Whoops. Yeah, that's good. Thanks. Is called an antibody. Okay? And antibodies have a Y shape, like a slingshot in a way. We'll show you a picture one in a minute, a pictorial one. And the tips of the Y vary just like keys. And they have a tremendous ability. Okay? Now, there we go. There is an antibody, the thing that's going to fight. And that's stuck on your cells, certain ones of them, and it's going to stick on to the non-self marker or the antigen or the foreign stuff that shouldn't be in your body. And it's going to stick on there, and you'll notice on the right-hand side here that looks like a key right in here, that's the portion that's going to be changed to lock in to the lock, as it were, that's on the bacteria, the virus, the fungi, the candida, or the parasites and so on, that's going to lock on to the surface marker of foreign things. Okay? Now, this portion here, the yellow, is, you see, it's a double Y. It's the constant, okay? And they call this the heavy chain and call that the light chain. But there is the stinger that fights the guy that shouldn't be in our body, okay? And that is definitely an antibody. Oops, I keep blinking at that one. Now, the stem portion of the Y, same in all antibodies of the same class. Antibodies belong to a family of large protein molecules known as immune globulins. So that Y is one of the immune globulins. And the IgE body, some of you may have heard that, that's an immune globulin, type E, are normal in trace amounts in the body, but they are an elevation of them is associated with allergies. So when a doctor sends you in to get an IgE level done and it's up, we kind of say, uh-oh, allergy problem here. Okay? Now, some antibodies are double Ys. Okay? Look at that. And that's common. That's IgA. And that's common in your lungs and in your GI tract. So, therefore, you have a bigger, you've got more stingers. Okay? You're going to have a stinger set up here and one over here with the keys. And that's going to really be doing the job against bacteria and so on and in your intestinal tract. other antibodies, this is like an IgM antibodies, are wheel-shaped, okay? And usually, and they tend to be in the bloodstream where they can fight infectious agents that we have in our blood, that the bloodstream is getting to, so it's fighting infections. So you can see here where we got an awful lot of stingers setting out here to protect our bloodstream. Amazing. Do you know that now this is getting such a complex field that you could spend your entire life just studying the ends and the tips of these things because they suspect there could be millions of them, that each one different to fight whatever we've been exposed to, okay? Well, complement. You've heard of complement, named because it's a system that complements the work of antibodies in destroying a nasty or an antigen, which is, again, remember, is the marker on the outside of either bacteria, virus, fungi, and so on. And if they destroy that or tie it up, then you're home free. It's giving you protection. Now, the first complement molecule is called C1, and it counters an antigen-antibody combat. In other words, it sees these two together, and the antibody is changing its key so it'll fit in right away quick and inactivate the stinger on the foreign bacteria, virus, fungi, so on. Okay? So when that happens, the first complement molecule comes across this fight and it goes to the aid of the antibody. And the next complement molecule joins the fray. And what's the end? Well, as a result of that, the end product is a tube that punctures the infection cell membrane, and it allows fluids and molecules to flow in and out, bringing on that particular cell's death, which you want if that's a bacteria or a virus in you. And of course, down here we see there's the gravestone because it was successful. Now, as I told you at the beginning, in the there is a very interesting thing with immunity. And I'm going to move a bit away from here. I feel better moving anyway. Here's a bacteria. There's the little Y self markers there. Remember, which we call those are the antigens. They're going to generate antibodies because the body's going to pick up the fact that this is not self. It's going to check these markers and say, you guys are foreign, you do not belong in here, and we got to get rid of you. Well, lysozymes, which are in your secretions like your tears and your saliva, lysozymes go along there and they start dissolving the end of the membrane of the bacteria. Well, that's a bit of a rough deal for the bacteria. Complement comes down here. It also dissolves the membrane, and it joins over here when there is some an antibody coming up to it. But the complement comes, dissolves the membrane, or it coats it to draw the phagocytes. That's the those are particular cells that'll eat it up. So complement will sometimes give it a coat, and so the phagocytes going by and say, wait a minute, I feel drawn to this thing, and it's a bacteria. And of course it discovers that, hey, those are good to eat as far as the phagocytes are concerned, so they eat them. And here's a natural killer cell here, okay? And here's, what are we noticing here? Interferon is necessary to activate a natural killer cell. You've heard about interferon, and you give it in the cancer clinics where people get fevers and chills and shakes and they don't feel very well at all. But what's interesting here is that vitamin C, a high level of vitamin C, triggers your body to produce its own interferon. If you're eating too much with anything with copper in it, however, that will definitely decrease your vitamin C. Cooking in or having a kettle with a copper pot, not lined, and you're boiling your water and pouring out and getting a lot of copper that way, or even taking hot water out of the hot water tap, which dissolves more copper in the water, and then putting that in the kettle to save time, would tends to increase copper. Or if you eat a lot of clams, You can get a lot of copper as well, and not to mention a few other things. And because, remember that schistosomiasis we talked about, those worms that get under your skin, you get the swimmer's itch? They come from clams as well, because the clam gets it from the snail, and the snail gets it from the cow's bowel movement on the lake shore. Now you'll look here, and you'll notice too, to trigger the natural killer cell, or what will tend to knock out. See, the natural killer cell will normally produce what we call cytokine up here, which starts to attack the bacteria as well. But what will stop that attack is cadmium. Where do you get cadmium from? People that smoke, or people that suck on fire nipples, even though there's a fire on one end of it. Okay? I used to say to my patients, and I still do, that among other things with us young people, kisses should be delicious and not taste like old butts. Alright? Now, so cadmium, you can also get cadmium if you're welding galvanized pipe. And I did a fair bit of that because you can use galvanized pipe that's thrown away. It makes excellent scaffolding. So if you weld it, it makes excellent scaffolding. I've done that. And so that's the other thing here. But what pulls cadmium? You know, cadmium has a 40-year half-life if you don't get it out of your body. And what helps to pull that down is eating zinc. And you get more zinc by eating more fish in general. Okay? You can get it from supplements as well. So what breaks down the effect of the cadmium for stopping this action is this. Sulfhydryl groups of the amino acids, which are beans, peas, lentils, and garlic. Okay? So, beans, peas, and lentils. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They ate beans, peas, and lentils, and in 10 days, their captors, guy was in charge of them, looked and he said, "Hey, you guys' face looks fuller because it tends to prevent the collapse so you get less wrinkles. They look ruddy." The Old Testament word was ruddy. And because they were very, very intelligent people, they told them, 10 days, you come back and look at us. We don't want to eat the king's meat. We want to eat what we did. And you will be able to see the difference. Well, I could give you a whole lecture for hours on beans, peas, and lentils. They tend to chelate and pull out toxic metals out of your system, like cadmium. And also, they help you absorb iron so that you don't lose energy from being anemic, and a lot of other things. Okay. Now, lymphocytes. They're a type of white blood cell that's designed to fight, in general, chronic diseases such as TB and cancer, okay? And some of these cells pass through the thymus, which is that gland written, if I thump it here, it'll be womp, 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 so it won't thump it. It's right behind your breastbone, and it's kind of looks like two kidneys put together in a way. And the lymphocytes, some of them will pass through that gland, that thymus, and which is behind the upper portion of the breastbone, and these are called T cells. They happen to be small, and after they've gone through the thymus, they get a working over, and they come out as T cells, and it includes the natural killer cells and the cytotoxic cells as well. Yes, okay? And both of the above, that's the cytotoxic cell and the natural killer cells, contain granules. And these granules are filled with lethal chemicals made by our bodies and to attack the virus, antibiotics, and so on. And you don't need a prescription for them because you're busy making them. Okay? All right. Now let's have another look and see some more. Let's see what lymphs do. You notice down here we've got immune activity. Up here, we start with our white cells that tend to fight chronic infections. The first thing we notice, that they can be increased by increasing your vitamin A intake. Okay? The second thing we notice is that we can't quite read the printing over here, but you'll notice that, oh, that's the source of vitamin A. Watermelons. Do you know that watermelon has more vitamin A in it than carrots? And that cooked carrots have more vitamin A per pound than raw carrots, okay? And And then you've got here a Coca-Cola. Okay, I don't think we can get that too easily here. Cabbage, barley grass, peppermint leaf, okay, senna leaf, yellow dock, uva ursi. All of those happen to be very high. What's another, the commonest thing that's high for vitamin A in our country? Dandelions. The leaf is excellent to eat, okay? Now, if I'm over here, I'm not in anybody's way, am I? Okay? You'll notice here that the vitamin A increases these lymphocytes. It increases their number. Now, the lymphocytes are on their way going through the thymus gland here. And that trip is increased by vitamin A, zinc, and E. Two very high sources of E are nettle leaf, okay, and wheat germ. But notice what blocks off these going through here. And these are going to become the real good guys. They're going to be their natural killer cells to fight cancer. Look what blocks them off. Narrow spectrum foods. Name one. White flour. White sugar. Okay? Anything that man is fiddled with. Food sensitivities will also block it off here. So does, get this, in a lot of people, milk, cow's milk. Why? Is it narrow spectrum? Of course. They pasteurize it. The last enzyme that they look for that's still maybe just hanging in there like bilio, as they would say, is alkaline phosphatase. And when the alkaline phosphatase is finally dead, now you can get your milk bottled, and you get it as you get it in the bottle there. But it's a narrow spectrum product because you've killed all the living material in it. Okay. Now wheat. Some people are allergic to that. Yeast. Some to eggs, and of course a lot of our eggs now. What do you expect to get out of a chicken that's kept in a cage, fed by what man knows? It's cheap. He gets narrow spectrum food in. You'll see this later on. And narrow spectrum eggs come out. Okay? And besides, you cannot get healthy food by eating something from an unhealthy animal. Okay? And animals were made to walk around, be exposed to sunshine, a little bit of wind and rain, and to eat an ant when it sees it here, blade of grass here, a beetle there, oh, and a grasshopper, oh boy, another one of those. So they get a broad spectrum. They don't feed them ants, beetles, and grass in the egg places. Corn, some people are really allergic to corn, and of course an awful lot of people are allergic to that one there. Sugar, really bad. That stuff paralyzes your white blood cells from 4 to 5 or more hours. And yet, that's the last thing in the world anyone with a serious illness should have is sugar, because of the paralysis it'll provide to these cells, especially the eating, what they call phagocytes. Okay? Now, to turn on the thymus ability, that thing is shrunk if you're low in vitamin A, low in zinc, low in arginine. Arginine is highest in nuts, and if you're eating a lot of fat. What's the average fat now, percent of calories of the diet? 40 to 45%. French fries, potato chips, fried everything, hamburgers and the like. Now that this cell has gone through the thymus and comes through here, of course, then we have what we call the pesticides. Bingo! It's going to knock out its effect before it can become a T cell. The other thing is B6, the active form of vitamin B6, because a lot of us can't convert the commonest form into this active form. It is there, but regardless of what form it is, hot fats, such as your French fries, potato chips, fried anything, really cuts out this is supposed to be synergistic to help the trip down this way. Okay? Then you see here, A plus zinc, it also helps here. But stress, and there's a little bit of that going around. Steroids, which a lot of people are on, like the asthmatics and so on, and other people with arthritis and that. That blocks off this, the effect of the A plus zinc in producing T cells. Iron acts as a stimulant, providing you don't take too much of it. Finally, you get to the T cell. Ah, now we've got something. He's a real fighter. And you find that in order for his immune activity, no use having a lot of these fighters unless you've got them active, right? So to get them active, here's what you need. You need iron, copper. You don't need that. Too high in iron or copper. Okay? Cadmium. Lead. Steroids. Like we had here. And chemo. Block it off here. They decrease the activity of the T cell. Okay? Sugar also does the same thing. Chop chop. Right there. Okay? But what helps to turn it on is zinc. Arginine in nuts. And where do you get zinc from? Very high in herring, very high in ginger, very high in pecans. Finally, we got down to immune activity. Interesting. And that's what you want. Because if you've got immune activity, you have resistance to the diseases that are flowing around. Believe you me, that helps. And it's very, very important. Okay? Now, how did I get these kind of things? Going through... more medical journals than you can sniff at and research journals, and I find one pearl, and then where does it fit in? So I find out where it fits in, and I put it on there. Okay? Now, here's one, and this is, that ought to get you turned over. All right? Now, here's your lymphocytes, the same cells again, and again we come in, they're increased in number by your vitamin A, your E, your zinc, and they're decreased by a whole bunch of things here. Food sensitivities, we mentioned, milk, wheat, yeast, egg, corn. Soya often does that, cuts it off. And so does cane sugar. And get this, this is a big one. Narrow spectrum foods will also block this synergistic effect that's supposed to be helping these lymphs on their way to, through the thymus. Now, lymphs over here, of course, are becoming the B cells. Some don't go through thymus, these don't go through thymus. And they're the big ones that were, are responsible for our antibodies. Remember those little Y-shaped things? Okay? So they're responsible for that. They surround and stick to viruses, etc., like here. Okay? What turns them on? Lysine. Where do you get lysine from? Fish. People aren't eating enough fish. Methionine. Also get that in fish. Vitamin E, right here, okay? Also, vitamin C, but that's cut off by too high of copper, by stress, by sucking those fire nipples, or getting too hot, okay? And then finally, we come down here, bingo, these antibodies are coming, and they're going to come and attack these little centers, because they're going to determine that those little Ys do not belong. They're not self. Those are antigens, and we've got to fight them. They don't belong in the body because we don't recognize them. And so then there's macrophages. That's a Greek word for big eaters. And their cells, like our white blood cells, are polys, and they're going to come along and try and swallow this as well. And what helps them in their process of moving and using this as an appetite is things like a little bit of iodine, which you get in fish, manganese, which you get in nuts, vitamin C, zinc, and coenzyme Q10 here, okay? But what blocks it off? These things will have no effect if you're having too much sugar, and if you're having too much stress, which results in increased cortisol, wham. So therefore, these macrophages that eat something covered with antibodies, they're just not going to be able to do it. Okay? Coming down this way, going through the thymus, we had this again. Remember, narrow spectrum foods block off the synergism coming down here. Now, when it goes from the thymus to become the T cells, we also need B6, and we showed you the hot fats there before. We have a decreased A or and zinc. And arginine will all affect this. Fat, eating too much fat, which shrinks the thymus, incidentally, and there's your pesticides again. Okay? So you get your T cells, they're going to work. Well, what do we got over here? Well, we've got inflammation. We got immune activity here. It's increased by zinc again and by nuts, what's in arginine, okay? We won't go into all of this too much. But again, chemo breaks down and attacks between your T cells and the immune activity here, okay? You don't pick that out of one journal. There, it's a little easier. You can see some here. And this is a natural killer cell here. And first of all, here's the interferon. Remember, that's increased by taking vitamin C. That's it down here under the screen, which you can't see. Or stuck right on the screen right there. But anyway, stress, whether it's mental, even poverty, they've found, tends to decrease the effect of vitamin C in boosting interferon. And immobility, being bedridden for a long time, being way too hot, and of course increased copper. And so that's going to stop production of interferon. When a body cell is attacked by viruses, bingo, 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 the viruses get inside the membrane, then they start multiplying. But in order to make their damage, once they've multiplied a whole family, they're going to ship the whole family, all the children, the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren, the whole lot, out in so that they can do the same thing. Okay? But what happens here, this body cell is attacked, and it says, hey, I've been invaded, and I'm in danger. So it actually sends a signal out to interferon. Now, when the viruses come here, this is something you should know. If you get the flu, magnesium, and potassium close the cell wall down so that the viruses can't get into the cell nearly as easy. What opens the cell wall up so that the flu can come in and really go to work in you is calcium and sodium from salt. So when you get the flu, you do not want to increase the stuff that the virus likes to eat, so you don't take sweets or sugar, because that's going to paralyze your white blood cells for that long time. And you tend to cut down on calcium. Whatever you do, you don't eat ice cream when you got the flu. Okay? You don't eat cheese when you got the flu. But you need magnesium, and the other thing you don't need is alcohol. So taking the hot toddy when you've got the flu might make you feel better, but it's not going to do much for the flu virus. And of course, if you're on diuretics, the water pill the doctor puts you on, then it's going to cut off the effect of magnesium. The other thing that cuts off the effect of magnesium is fluoride. So I've got to tell you, if you got the flu, don't brush your teeth if they're using that stuff that's got fluoride in it, okay? Okay, so interferon here, cancer will stop its effect on interferon, boosts the killer cell activity, but cancer, chronic fatigue syndrome, any degenerative disease like severe arthritis will also block it off, and you get cell resistance everywhere here, okay? The natural killer cells will decrease cancer in general. Notice over here that as you age, it tends to break down our body cells. We know that because we see people starting to go like so, they get wrinkles and all that, okay? Increased fats will cut down the effect, boosting effect, here's aging, has a bad effect on our cells, but what we can help to stop that aging is not only selenium E, but also fish fats. Fish oils, the essential fatty acid. We've got to add that one on here. Really slows down the rate at which you age. And I think most of us like that. We've got Monica here. She never ages. She's looked exactly the same for 20 years, and it's incredible. But she doesn't eat too much of this stuff. Because increased fats, particularly the hot ones from potato chips and french fries, chop off the effect of selenium E. Okay? Now, the bigger the lymphs, those are the ones that do not pass through the thymus, produce your antibodies, and therefore they're called B cells, or stands for big. Okay? And there's another one of these. And this is the B cell. Here's your lymphs. Vitamin A increases them. Pesticide stops, puts a whack to them here. We've already covered this one where magnesium helps, but it's knocked off by fluoride, by alcohol, diuretics. You've got your B lymphs here. But what improves the B lymphs' ability to make antibodies to fight bacteria and viruses and so on in our, are, notice this, B1, B2, P5, P5P, that's the active form of B6, you could put B6 there, pantothenic acid, folic acid, biotin, vitamin K, highest in horseradish, next highest in broccoli, next highest in lettuce in our country, and selenium, and the mineral, mineral selenium, and the vitamin E. Okay, so that's going to boost the production of antibodies, which are going to stick to this virus thing here. Okay, now we notice that we're going to get a boost to these antibodies by lysine in fish, methionine in chicken and turkey, phenylalanine, also in the fowl, valine, I'll have to look that one up, vitamin E, amino acids, such from fish, lamb, beef, poultry, pumpkin seeds. Okay? Now, those are the amino acids. That's these four are found in fish, lamb, so phenylalanine, so is valine, fish, lamb, beef, poultry, pumpkin seeds. Okay? So that helps. And here's your vitamin C, but it's cut off again by copper, stress, fire nipples, and heat. And here's stress again, produces cortisol. Cortisol is going to stop the effect of the phagocyte, which is drawn to eat that thing, but its appetite gets cut off with stress, sugar. It's boosted, however, by selenium, manganese, highest in nuts, vitamin C, zinc, very high in fish, and coenzyme Q10. Okay? So you can get an idea, and we must hurry on. Neutrophils, white blood cells that tend to respond to acute illnesses, they seem to find foreign bodies as a source of food, which is good. And there's no reverse on this. Okay. Anyway, I think we'd covered it before on the flow chart. So neutrophils, in addition to eating foreign matter, bacteria, viruses, etc., also destroy your microorganism utilizing their toxic granules. Okay? Therefore, neutrophils play a key role in acute inflammatory reactions. Okay? The scavengers also contain these toxic granules that get injected into bad cells like bacteria and really get them. And we're almost going to be finished with these because I think the next one is another big one here. And we've pretty well come through it, excepting to note here that inflammation works better if I have my little marker here. Inflammation is here, okay? And it's caused by an increase of arachidonic acid. Where do you get arachidonic acid? Well, it's an essential product for developing of babies' brains, but if you get too much of it, you get too much of it by eating too much red meat, too much organ meats like liver and kidney, and too much hot fats, especially dairy products. Those are the things that hot fats and dairy products and those organ meats of any kind are really bad for increasing getting too much arachidonic acid. So what helps here, phospholipase, that's a particular kind of fat enzyme in our body that's really a precursor to this, but and if it makes too much, we don't want that, so selenium E works here to cutting that one off. Arachidonic, there they are, red meats, organ meats, crustaceans. You know, heavy metals settle where? In a lake or an ocean? to the bottom. That's why they're called heavy. One reason. And what's eating on the bottom? Fish without scales on them. Crabs, shrimp, lobster, oysters, mollusks, clams. Those things are dynamite for heavy metals. What do heavy metals do? They knock out your enzyme systems. You can't do anything. You can't breathe, can't see, can't hear, can't speak, can't taste, can't smell, can't breathe, your heart can't beat, you can't digest, you can't eliminate, you can't have sex. That's horrible. And if your enzymes are gone, okay? So you just don't function as a human being anymore.
You don't want too much of that stuff. It'll come down here, but it's a precursor that's necessary, so you don't want too much. If you've got too much, you'll notice that gamma linoleic acid from primrose oil or wheat germ and your essential fatty acids up here will tend to stop this if it's too high, and you want its effect is on histamine. Histamine cell breaks open, puts out a whole bunch of little granules, and vitamin C will cut that down, cut the amount of histamine down, because histamine causes inflammation. Prostaglandin E2s, that's a product that it causes inflammation. Prostaglandin E1, if you're eating right and taking, making sure you're not eating too many red meats and crustaceans and hot fats, and so on here, you'll get more prostaglandin E1, and that'll come down and knock out the inflammatory effect of prostaglandin E2s. Your bioflavonoids and low zinc will decrease inflammation. Superoxide dismutase, that's an enzyme, fifth largest protein in the human body. That one itself will cut down inflammation, but it's cut off by increased levels of zinc, copper, and manganese. So what we're saying is here that you shouldn't be overeating. You shouldn't be eating, well, I heard that Dr. Taylor said nuts were good for arginine. So now I'm going to have half a pound of almonds every day. It's not going to work that way, okay? Smoke, pesticides, hot fats, radiation, viruses, narrow spectrum foods, arachidonic acid, all produce inflammation, but your fish oils and primrose oils tend to block that pathway off as well. Okay? Okay, there's the polys, your white blood cells, infections, bleeding too much, having cancer, having toxins will increase their number. They fight acute problems. They're drawn to eat bacteria, but reading far too much red meat or taking too many iron pills, being low on vitamin B12 because you don't eat meat at all, and having sugar, this is the big one here, blocks them off, blocks their ability off to eat the bacteria. A little bit of iodine and vitamin C help, but then processed foods, your white flour and everything, you know, they have cheese now, they call it a cheese food. It's never been near milk or a cow. I don't know how they get the stuff, but it's got dyes and so on. But processed foods will cut off the effect here. Taurine, which is in beef heart, that's why they named it after Taurus the bull. And finally, we've got our bacteria here. We want the poly to come down here and eat the bacteria. We find that calcium seems to help this character here to eat this. This is an enzyme, rather. And the bacteria is infecting the enzyme. C-reactive protein that we mentioned is going to hit the... This is a bacteria, and this is the enzyme in the bacteria. Calcium normally would come in with C-reactive protein to decrease this little character's enzymes, and as a consequence of which he cannot be as active. Again, fats, oxalic acid cuts the calcium off. That's in high in rhubarb and turnips. Too high a grain. These people would eat 12 slices of bread a day, and of course the phosphates if they eat steak every day. Okay, well, I don't know whether we'll even go through this one. I think we've covered this one. This is basically a summary of what we said of the other beforehand, because I want to get to something else here. The above types of immunity accept the complement equals what they call acquired immunity. Okay? There's another form, and it's called innate immunity. And it includes the lysozymes, remember those in secretions, your tears and saliva, and complement already described. Now, you also have what they call acute phase proteins. If you think that the immune system is simple, this should give you an idea. There's two basic parts to the acute phase. One is the C-reactive protein, which dissolves microenzymes and increases by over 100 times in the presence of an infection. So if you get an infection, C-reactive protein starts to really work well. Okay? And then for activity, the C-reactive protein requires calcium. Okay? So you must have some calcium, in spite of what I told you before. Okay? Interferon, of course, vitamin C increases that, and viral infected cells produce the interferon, signals for other cells, and calls in natural killer cells to action. Interferon is host-specific, because mine is different to yours. Okay? And vice versa. Okay? The body's natural interferon is increased by a good intake of vitamin C, and zinc is required for gamma interferon. So again, you need a bit of fish. And if you look very carefully in the right-hand corner, you can see a goldfish down here. And I remember in one of the universities that they used to do some mean tricks. And one guy loved his, he wasn't very popular because he played his hi-fi really loud in the university residence. And the other guys couldn't study because the walls were going boom, 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 boom. So what they did is they had these guys said, we'll get even with him. And he used to put his goldfish out on the sill, and he loved his goldfish. So what they did from the room up above, they fished all Saturday, caught all the goldfish, took them in, boiled them, and then rigged up a nice little relief thing to put them all back in the goldfish bowl. Well, he knew that somehow or other he was being warned about his hi-fi. Now, humans can be resistant to animal diseases, and animals can be immune to human diseases. And there's an exception, and it's herpes simplex, or the virus that causes the cold sore. In humans, it's often a nuisance, but it's frequently lethal to rabbits. So do not kiss your rabbit if you have a cold sore. All right? I promised on the radio interview to tell people when not to kiss your rabbits, and that's when. Actually, it's just a nuisance to you, but if you kiss them, you can have dead rabbits in 3 or 4 days quite easily. Okay? Our soils are not getting better. In the United States Senate document, 264, 1936, that's a few years back, folks, stated that U.S. farm and rain soils were depleted. Now, they just said, that's quoting them literally. Well, that would have been something, but at the Earth Summit held in Rio, USA, in June of 1992, a conclusion was based on a large number of studies by the international group there, was that farm and rain soils in North America were 85% depleted of the minerals that they had had 100 years prior. The only way you could tell that is they had some German people came over 100 years prior, and they had done an awful lot of research projects on the condition of soil. And they were so detailed, it was marvelous, because you could repeat their tests, and this is what turned out. 85%. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means that you and I are attempting to thrive on soil that now contains less than 15% of the minerals that should be available for full-spectrum plants, or from full-spectrum plants. So our great-grandparents were eating high on the hog when they grew something in the soil. Okay? However, having said that, we discovered that many modern-day nutritionists state that soil content doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what's in the soil. Because, they say, a plant's content is dependent on its genetics and not on the quality of the soil. Well, we're going to blow that one apart, and you'll appreciate this one. So what we have learned, of course, over the years was that manure heals. Okay, and here's the cow down there trying to, he's doing some healing, or must be about to because his tail's raised, okay, right down here. So he's about to do some healing for us. Now, the previous article here, oh, look at him. okay, manure heals, okay. That previous article that we've just shown you comes from one of the farm journals that I get. The previous article came from studies from the Lethbridge Research Station, Alberta. What did they do? In 1956, they leveled a field so that irrigation water would not run off, because they were a little shy on water. And in doing so, they'd stripped off the topsoil. For the next 26 years, more than a quarter of a century, these highly educated scientists tried all forms of chemical fertilizer they could think of to bring the soil back to its life again. Your soil is a living thing. Their fertilizers were narrow spectrum, and they had very limited success. Now, you can imagine 26 years, these educated people being paid by the government, and they come up there. They've been working at it now for 25 years, a quarter of a century. Hi, George. Yeah. Hi, Harry. How are you doing? Well, not bad. I'm sure glad I'm going to retire this year. Why is that? Well, it's been 5 days a week, four weeks a month, over a quarter of a century, and we're still trying to get this big plot of land to grow something for us. We've tried everything we know. We've had consults. We've had everything, and it's getting tired. And they're doing the same thing. Well, let's try something else and add more minerals to it. Nothing was working. Then somebody suggested that they try some cow manure. Okay? And in 1 year, the soil had reached up to 80% of its original productivity. Now, we're not talking about just fly-by-night people. These were people that had doctorates in agriculture, biology, biochem, you name it. So what do I say here? I say, there's our cow again. See, you give it, okay. So what a team of highly educated scientists were unable to do in more than a quarter of a century, a team of uneducated cows did in less than 1 year. Okay? Well, our expert stated here, another page missing. The agricultural economist that was involved in this long study said we cannot duplicate manure's effect. Well, that came through real well. If they thought that I blew 26 years going to that job, and all we need to do was borrow the neighbor's cow herd for a while, or help him get rid of the manure out of his barn, and we've got the thing done. Well, for soils as well as humans, broad-spectrum intake is required for optimum health. Now, having said this, and have you just finished seeing this now, now we come to something very intriguing. This is Ask the Experts. This particular clipping, and I've made sure I didn't put the name on it because I don't want to get sued, but this has come what is reportedly the world's top research specialists, okay? And we're going to go over what they say. Previous slide contains comments by experts. If we don't record this, I'll tell you what an expert is. Are you able to shut it off? Give me the high sign. Okay. An X is a has-been, and a spurt is a drip under pressure. Okay? You cannot be an expert in this field because no one knows it all. The more you learn in this particular field, the more you discover you don't know. It's a whole world. There's a whole... you remember those tips on the antibodies? There can be over millions of them. It's a whole world. Every time you discover anything, you discover there's another universe out there of knowledge. It's phenomenal. So no one really is an expert. Okay, but what do they say here? They classify it as a myth. This is these people, supposed to be the nutrition experts, a myth that the vitamin content of fruits... Oh, have we turned on now? Vitamin content of fruits and vegetables is determined by the soil they grow in. Okay? Now notice that they say vitamin content of fruits and vegetables. That's the first point. Okay? Here it's true that the mineral content of fruits and vegetables is determined by the soils they grow in. The mineral content, but they said vitamin. An example of vitamin deficiency resulting from soil deficiency will be shown shortly. We're going to show you that they're not exactly true. Now, our experts state, and here's another little slam on people, that people who are selling nutritional supplements, I'm quoting now literally, or specially grown fruits and vegetables, meaning organically grown fruits or anything like that, sometimes claim that American soil has been depleted and therefore our food is lacking in nutrients. Okay? So let's look at it. It gets worse. Now, I'm going to comment on this right off the bat. What's the inference from that thing that you just saw? The inference is that only people that are selling supplements or people that are selling certified organically grown foods, and we're going to show you some differences here that will blow your mind, that there must be that kind of person. And they just want to sell their supplements or organic foods. And they're making a claim when the inference is that the claim is wrong, that the American soils are depleted, right? Well, the claim is not wrong. We'll prove that in a minute. We already had where the International Conference in Rio in 1992 stated that we've lost 85% of the minerals. We have far more minerals in our body than we do have vitamins. Very, very important. Okay? But anyway... So the inference, it appears that those handling nutritional supplements or organically grown food products, to put it kindly, are less informed. And also another inference in that last statement was that American soil is not depleted, and yet another inference is that our food is not lacking in nutrients. Well, we're going to blow all of those out of the water. Now, the conjectures by these experts are false. It is true that our food is lacking in nutrients, particularly as far as minerals are concerned. But they don't even state that. They threw the word vitamins in there instead. Then the experts say, if the growing soil is good enough to grow a healthy plant, the vitamins as well as the carbohydrates, fats, and proteins found in that species will be present and available. Do you believe it? Well, let me show you. I could spend the next 4 hours just showing you examples of foods that you are all buying, which are all deficient, which absolutely throws these expert comments out the window. And let me show you one. Now, that, if you look down here, is a grapefruit. The leaves, especially at the bottom, were fairly green. Well, according to them, if it looks healthy, it's good. Okay? There's the grapefruit right down at the bottom. You'll notice a little bit of brown on the outside of the grapefruit there. Okay? Right here. Well, that grapefruit is horribly deficient in manganese. But you and I have always bought those. Well, of course, grapefruit isn't the highest source of manganese, but that's fine. I could spend the whole day here giving you picture after picture after picture of healthy-looking fruit that you buy all the time that's deficient in something or another. And if you're eating everything that is deficient rather than broad spectrum, you're going to get into trouble. Okay? So just that one picture alone tells them that they're wrong on that. But since we don't have time to go into the whole thing, you know, it's like the farmer that went to church one day, and he was the only one there, and the minister was there, and so he decided he was really going to preach, and he preached, and he kept preaching and preaching. Poor farmer looked at his watch. The guy's been going steady for an hour and a half without a let up. The next time he looked at his watch, he's gone 2.5 hours. Finally, the fellow quit after 3.25 hours, and he walked down and shook his hand, and he said, "Well, Mr. So-and-so, what did you think of my sermon?" And the farmer said, "Well," he said, "I do a lot of work and put up an awful lot of hay. But," he says, "you know, I've learned one thing. You don't give the whole hay crop to the horse in one day." Okay, now, so we're also going to show how misleading their previous statement was as well in wheat and vegetable pictures, some of which are coming up. When you look at minerals rather than vitamins that they refer to, okay? In the experts were talking about vitamins, and we're going to get something interesting on that later. Look at this. This is a picture showing the difference. And this was done by Smith and his group in Chicago. And you'll notice here, this is a difference. First of all, remember that they said, well, some people claim that specially grown foods are a little different to the others. Now, this picture is in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, done by Smith, who one day phoned me from New York and spent an hour and a half on the phone at noon. I was glad he was paying the bill. But what you've got here, see these little markers down here? That is what is on the readily commercially available wheat that's available out there. Okay? They just went around to a group of stores and they bought some wheat, bagged. And so they tested it. So here's what they found. Now, they tested it for calcium, potassium, magnesium, and chromium. Well, as you know, calcium necessary for bones. Then they took some organic or certified organically grown wheat, the special crop that the Mythbusters wanted to talk about. They found that there was 100% more than 100% more calcium in the certified organic grown crops than in the readily commercially available. You have your bread made out of this if you're buying it. We went out and we bought a whole bunch of certified organic wheat. So we're getting this. Maybe that's why I still climb trees when I'm closer to 80 than 70. And my wife, who is still riding a bicycle, and she's well over 80. So here we go. It has this much potassium. Look at that. You know that potassium in cancer cells is usually down to 1/15th of the amount that's in a cancer cell is down to having 1/15th of the potassium that a non-cancer cell has? Potassium's an enzyme activator. Okay? Look at the magnesium. Magnesium helps prevent us from getting heart attacks, among other things. Okay? Marvelous stuff. Also, as we mentioned already earlier, it helps stopping viruses from attacking your cell if you're exposed to a virus infection. Finally, chromium is still up about 50% higher in the certified organic food. And guess what? That's going to help prevent diabetes. So anyway, this by itself shows that our guys that wrote the criticism against you and I that might be involved in good health and eating certified organic foods, this is telling us it's wise. They're saying there's no difference by inference. Okay? Now, there's another advantage too, and it is that the computer can work. It quit. Hello? As an older person, I've often wondered how my engineering colleagues ever got up to the moon and back. Because this electronic spaghetti gives me more fun and games than you can shake a stick at. You can shut it off now. Yeah, okay. No. Good. A backup computer? Oh, yeah, that's the first one up here with my name under here. While they're doing that, okay. Yeah, 10-minute break. We really start getting into some interesting stuff. We don't have any more of those And they were 72 years of age, retired from farming, and had moved into the city. And they went into a senior citizen's home in this city. And they... Okay, he's turning me on. This is my grandson. Okay, we're very good friends. Okay. Okay, anyway, they decided, since they moved from the farm and worked hard, they went in and they had a very thorough medical. And the doctor told both of them, boy, oh boy, you have to be working hard. Your exercise has put you two, you happen to be in some of the best shape I've ever seen elderly people in. Well, there's this girl crying because within, they went in this nursing home and organic grown stuff. Again, this is from the journal of Applied Nutrition, this time on wheat and full spectrum soil advantage. Here you have heavy metals, and someone asked how to get rid of those. Well, we already told you, beans, peas, lentils, and so on, apples and applesauce for pectin. Here is the lead level in the certified organic grown foods. Down here, aluminum, sodium, mercury. But in the readily commercially available, you get more. You get more lead, you get more mercury, you get more sodium, which is an anti-enzyme, that's why you gals pickle with it, and you get more aluminum. You get, look at this, these are percentages, 200% more aluminum. Aluminum is definitely related to Alzheimer's disease. Sodium, high sodium is definitely related to high blood pressure, in a lot of people, but it's also related to cancer cases and cancer cells. Mercury takes away your balance, and lead, of course, takes away your mental ability. No wonder they say, take the lead out. Okay. Now, how do you like this if you want to make broad-spectrum wheat? Just add a little manure to it. This truck hauls grain in the morning and manure after lunch. Okay, notice this guy over here, I like him, he's getting quite, he's holding his throat and going yuck when he read that, but I thought that was cute. Everybody's tired, or I would have got a chuckle out of that. Okay, well, next one. In the publication, The Myth, is the following, quote, all the vitamins in plants are manufactured by the plants themselves according to their own genetic program. This is false, and I will show you some reasons why we say it's false, okay? When they say all vitamins are manufactured by the plants themselves genetically, these writers were in error. Why? Because no plant can manufacture vitamin B12 unless there's cobalt in the soil. Because the name for vitamin B12 is cyanocobalamin. There's the cobalt. Okay? The plant can't get it from the air. Got to get it from the soil. So They're wrong, and yet they're supposed to be the world's authority. This is what's taught in universities, is what they say. And I know because I've taken a lot of postgraduate stuff. Okay? Now, if animals and or humans eat plants from cobalt-deficient soil, they can get sick and you can die from it. Note the following examples. Ah, there we go. See that cow? He ate grass. If there's an udder on there, I have to go back to school. I can see the difference, eh? And, but this cow, she, all right, you can notice how sick that looks. That cow's ready to drop and die because it ate grass from soil that was cobalt deficient. So they're wrong when they say that all the vitamins in a plant are genetically produced. It cannot produce cobalt if you don't have the metal cobalt in the soil. So it ate the hay. And what would the farmer normally do with this? You bet, he'd ship it. And it'd be made into hamburger. Well, meat is supposed to be our highest source, one of the highest sources for vitamin B12. So you wouldn't be getting the B12. So he calls a vet. The vet knows what he's doing. If he'd called a doctor, it would have been too bad. He'd lost his cow. And there, 16 days later, is the same cow after he's given cobalt. Now, just in case you want to see the contrast, and your memory was real short, we'll show you the two of them. I want to go forward. There's the same cow, 16 days difference. Isn't that phenomenal? I had a case where a man came into the hospital in a coma, and his specialist phoned me and said, "Dr. Taylor," he said, "we'd like you to look at him. You can go over it, but we've already checked him out. This man's dying. He's probably got 24 hours to live. And would you be so kind as to talk to his wife when he goes? And give me a phone when he dies." Well, there was Mom sitting there in tears. And they'd been married something like 49 years. And stroking his hand. So I just sat, pulled up a chair beside this unconscious man, and who looked like the top cow there. And I just mentioned, I said, "Well, they haven't really made a diagnosis on your hubby. And when did he go into a coma?" She said, "Yesterday morning." And I said, okay. And I said, I started asking questions. I said, "He didn't happen just by chance to say that his balance has been bad on these rough, snowy sidewalks recently." She looked at me and says, "It's funny you should ask that." I said, "Why?" "Well," she said, "for 2 years, he said, my balance is getting terrible." I said, "Really? Did he complain of tingling of his hands and feet?" She said, "Yeah." She says, "Nobody's asked me those questions before." And I said, "You're kidding." So I called to the nursing station stat. And I said, "I want this guy to get some shots right immediately of vitamin B12. He was totally unconscious, supposed to be dead possibly that night. 20 minutes, he's sitting on the edge of the bed because he hadn't eaten for 3 days. And he says, "Am I ever hungry?" And he walked out 2 days later. And for that, the nurses gave me the title of Dr. Goldfinger. Okay, here's another picture. There's calves. You'll notice here, the same calf, okay, and example of nutritional anemia because copper and iron were missing in the soil, never got into the plant, and there you can tell me. Don't tell me that there aren't people around that are suffering from deficiencies, okay? That's the same calf. You couldn't believe it. After seeing these pictures, as I say, try telling this speaker that soil in North America is not deficient, and that if plants grow, that it's evident they contain all the nutrients necessary. It's not true. farmers can't tell by looking at grass. And they told us if it looks healthy, it's okay. Now we're going to slip quickly into some matter about broad spectrum and narrow spectrum. Now look at, see those two pigs? This pig grew on the right-hand side. They see that's got a white sign on it. That was so that the scientists would know which one was small and which one was big. And but they're both the same size when they started. And this, the pig over here on the right, your right-hand side, grew to be a monster. On, they're both on 10% corn. What happened? Well, this one here, this big fella, was on 10% broad spectrum corn. This one was on a 10% corn in his diet, which was narrow spectrum. His growth rate here was only 8% of the growth rate of this monster. Okay? Don't tell me it doesn't make a difference that certified organic grown foods are not significant. There's the same thing, this time with rats, and this is rather interesting, because in this case, from the medical post, they were both identical size just 3 weeks prior to this, just a hair less than 3 weeks, identical size from the same litter. This one, as part of its diet, was given, guess what, whole eggs. This one was given the stuff they were feeding me in the hospital, powdered eggs. Okay? None of these rats, they did that because it's supposed to be a study on how cholesterol affects human beings. None of these lived 3 weeks. They all died in 3 weeks. Now, here's what's very interesting about this. There is the Health and Welfare Canada statement of what artificial eggs are made of. Here, we'll go on. The large rat had normal eggs for its protein and fat source. The sibling, or the little shrunken little fella, was the same size at the time of the experiment start, and was designed to determine the effects of cholesterol. None of the animals on the artificial eggs survived 3 weeks. Not a one. They had, I think, 200. The dying rats had in their artificial eggs at least the minimum specified by the Department of Health and Welfare of the following. Now notice what the dying rats had. They had vitamin A, they had B1, they had B2, they had B3, pantothenic acid, B6, vitamin B12, folic acid, vitamin E, calcium, iron, zinc, and potassium, plus coloring, plus fat, plus flavoring, so on. In other words, 9 vitamins and minerals. Now that looks, and you can get in drugstores and health food stores, a similar vitamin mineral supplement. But it's narrow spectrum, most of it synthetic stuff, because it's cheaper. Vitamin A, what do they make that synthetic out of? They make that vitamin A often out of acetylene gas. Okay? Well, I wasn't designed by the Creator to be handling a welding product inside of me. I suppose I could make it a little more broad spectrum if I added some welding rod into my dinner. Okay? I would have a little broader spectrum vitamin A. And so on it goes. Vitamin E, most of that vitamin E that's synthetic is made from turpol, the same stuff you make turpentine out of. Well, God didn't expect me to be spending my time eating paint thinner either. So this is 9 vitamins and minerals, which is a good supplement, plus the rest of their food. And these vitamins and minerals qualify for the typical vitamin and mineral supplement. Okay? Okay, another page missing here. And but notice this. You can get that local pharmacy and elsewhere, but these are bad. Get this, but all died, B-A-D, okay? So that's not the kind of thing we should be taking. We need a broad spectrum. All the animals eating broad spectrum food, more broad spectrum food really, containing the known and unknowns, because we don't know it all, they lived, and all animals eating the narrow spectrum food died in 3 weeks. even when on a narrow spectrum vitamin mineral supplement. Okay? Do you know what? I've often thought of this. These artificial eggs that you saw on there, the Department of Health, they're designed for life. But they kill. I was in hospital after I had a bad accident, and I was there for 17 days. I lost 42 pounds. When my wife had cancer a few years ago, she beat me by 3 pounds. She lost 45 and was given 3 weeks to survive. And that was in July of 1998. She went on the Taylor regime, and she learned to ride a bicycle in her 80th year, but and still rides it like mad. That's that thin lady there who's now put on 35 pounds. Well, I'm putting a button on her, but that doesn't work. She doesn't. Okay. The white-haired one in the front seat, front row. Okay. Now, it's designed for life, but it kills. Don't tell me that pesticides that are designed to kill are quite safe, when stuff that's designed to bring life kills. Doesn't make sense. Okay? Common sense is not very common. Okay, now, another statement in this publication, going back to our myth publication, remember that he said it's a myth, that plants need only water, carbon dioxide from the air, and 13 minerals which they obtain from the soil. Okay? This statement also seems to be an error in that, as we've already indicated, that another scientific group, remember the Lethbridge Farms that got their Bachelor of Education from a group of cows? They got their postgraduate degrees from them. Okay, they tried the same approach, plants needing only water, carbon dioxide, and 13 minerals, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, for over a quarter of a century, with no success. So we know that they have taught us something. So we are aware now that this second group of experts received their postgraduate from uneducated cows. More production occurred. Okay? And there he is with his shovel getting more of the stuff so they can get more production. They missed that one, Magda. Okay. Well now, whoops. Oh, I love that. Okay. Yeah. I'm glad he wasn't in the process. Okay. Now, there's our myth. People also infer that you can tell a healthy product by its appearance. We already showed you a grapefruit. This time, I just say, oh, how do you tell which is a healthy onion? Any of you tell much difference between this onion, that onion, and that onion? Do you think you've bought any onions that look like this? Okay. These three onions are quite deficient in copper. So now you've been eating deficient onions. That's the only healthy onion in this group. Okay? That's the most broad spectrum one. So you're eating narrow spectrum stuff here. Okay? You cannot tell by appearance that this one is greatly worse than that one and worse than this one. You can't tell that. And the order of the badness or the deficiency goes this way. Okay? You can't tell by looking, contrary to what our quote expert said. Okay? Interesting. Okay. Well, we went over this before. Remember a group of world experts at the Earth Summit held in Rio, June 1992, concluded after reviewing a large number of studies that the farm and range soils were 85% depleted of the minerals they had 100 years prior. And this meant that we were trying to live on 15%. And so much for the statement that those selling supplements and or certified organic produce are an error. Our soil is deficient, is the point here. So to correct a soil deficiency, what happens? Well, the usual thing is a common soil supplement is a narrow spectrum fertilizer, and it remains like our Lethbridge scientists tried over 26 years. They're still using the same stuff that failed these Lethbridge scientists for over a quarter of a century, okay? The narrow spectrum supplement usually used by the farmers is NPK fertilizer. They use it in various rates where N nitrogen, P for phosphorus, and K for potassium, okay? We've used the term broad spectrum, and it is here that synergism can occur. If you've got all sorts of things there, synergism. Well, what I mean by synergism? It's from a Greek word, syn, meaning Greek, or that is Greek, and we get the word sum from it, adding things together, which means together, and ergos, the Greek word for work, for which we get energy or work. So synergy meaning working together, and it means, it infers that the combined effect is greater than the sum of the individual effects. An example is the treatment of beriberi from eating narrow spectrum white rice, which you shouldn't do. They have 10,000 deaths in each of the big cities in China still today from eating white rice rather than eating the polished stuff because they pulled off the vitamin B12. But when they got beriberi, we'll discover that you can get a cure far easier when you give them a broad spectrum B than if you just give them one at a time. Or, I'm sorry, than if you give them just the B1s at a time. Okay? Now, therefore, due to synergism, broad spectrum supplements and foods, even at much lower dose, are more effective because you're getting synergistic action. Okay? Now back to our NPK. As with all narrow spectrum products to soils or animals, there can be some real problems. And here's just some of them. If you have a high nitrogen, you get a low vitamin A. And the result is from low vitamin A in humans is a decrease in your immunity, dry eyes, poor hearing. Sometimes ringing in the ears can be just helped by giving someone A and zinc. Also, if you have high phosphorus, then you get a low zinc. And for men, that's disastrous because it says no zinc, no zing. Okay? And they can have high phosphorus as well. Bad for kidney disease, if that's the case. If the potassium is too high, then you can get low magnesium. That means you're far more subject to dying if you did get a heart attack. And low calcium as well, which means if you've got both of those low, then you can get increased blood pressure and increased heart attack rate. But good, rich, needs much more than NPK for its nutrition. Yeah, good soil, or rich soil. That's what we meant, the word soil there. Like humans, it requires broad spectrum intake. The soil is a living thing, so it does require broad spectrum, just the same as humans do. Okay, when NPK is used without fiber, the concentrated soil materials then through osmolarity will draw moisture and dissolve nutrition out of the plant. In other words, you've put more salt. Okay? He's going to change the film. While he's doing that, anybody want a question while we're here? No? Okay. Yes? Yes? The leaf. The leaf is excellent as long as it hasn't been sprayed. Okay? But it's very high in vitamin A, and it's one of the things that really corrects a toxic liver beautifully. Okay, it works very similarly to the evening primrose. Okay, very good. The Indians knew that a long time ago too. That they saw one of their people got yellow from jaundice because of fatty degeneration of the liver. They could prolong their life by putting on dandelion leaves. Yes. Yeah. Actually, I think for that, we do have some people here that are involved in certified organic soil and crops. And I believe that the question was, how long would it take after you use that bar for those leaves and so on to get normal? I think it's recognized for safety at least 3 years, don't they? Yeah. 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 Okay, thanks. Okay. Now, where were we here? Yes, when NPK is used without adding fiber, it's fiber that holds water and gives soil structure. So if you have too much NPK, and after they've put that kind of artificial fertilizer on the soil, farmers often pray for rain after applying the NPK to prevent the plant from wilting, because putting all those chemicals in there tends to make a nicely concentrated chemical. And you know that osmolarity, the water will move from the plant to try and dilute the chemicals in the soil. So the plant wilts because its nutrition, waterborne nutrition, is already pulled out, and it's not so good. Okay, so far we've shown some sick foods and sick animals, but we will now touch on results when humans are deficient, even though it might not be evident. In other words, you might not tell by looking at them just shortly that they may be sick. Now, notice this. This next one is rather interesting, because what it's showing is that although you look normal, you may not have normal, healthy function in your body. And that's what this one's for. Bayumi and Rosalki reported in Clinical Chemistry the following. They took healthy-looking adults, okay? And they checked their red blood cells for enzymes, which are the things that help to take on oxygen, give off carbon dioxide, and so on, and keep you nice and healthy. Well, what did they do? The enzymes tested were oxaloacetate transaminase, reductase, and transketolase. How do you like those names? But they notice ASE at the end, that means it's an enzyme. So they checked those three enzymes, and they got certain levels out of all these people that looked real healthy. Okay? Then what happened? The adults were then given B1, B2, and B6, some B vitamins. When the three enzymes were measured afterwards in the red blood cells, they found that those red blood cells were considerably higher in those enzymes than what they started with. And they were really jolted, as you'll see from what they write. This demonstrated that even apparently healthy adults benefit from taking supplements. And the authors noted that the healthy subjects, getting all the intake they required for good enzyme function, had significant increase in them, meaning in the enzymes. So the question was, if they were healthy, why would their enzyme levels be so improved, because it was quite an improvement, on the vitamin B supplements? And they only gave them three, okay? And guess, here's what they start saying. I get a real bang out of that. Quote, "We do not believe that these increased enzyme levels should be chosen as normal references, for to do so would imply that the healthy population is vitamin deficient." Okay? So they don't want to believe their own data. We want to believe what we can see. They look healthy, therefore they are healthy, and we don't care what the research shows. Not quite a good scientific approach, I wouldn't think. And they say, for to do so would imply that the healthy population, remember they're defining them as healthy without really knowing, is vitamin deficiency, which by definition is not true. Whose definition? Because an adequate vitamin intake is regarded as the amount sufficient for physiological requirements for health. Well, does that make sense to you? I've never found anyone that passed grade one that that made sense to. And it looks as if they're trying to say that, wait a minute, we don't believe these should be normal because we've already looked at them, they looked healthy, and therefore by definition they are healthy, so don't tell us that we can that those boosted enzyme levels are any significant. Well, I'll tell you what they are. They're so significant that it's going to really bump up the ability of the blood to work in their lungs, their kidneys, and their brains. Apart from that, maybe not too significant, eh? Okay. So, if you'll note, the thinking of health means to these researchers, no frank illness obvious by definition. Okay? Well, an example of what's happening to the human immune system, which unfortunately applies to all ages now, is the fact that we've gone so low in our immune system over the last 20 years, it's very, very alarming. Here's an example. There's a fungi normally only growing on vegetables and fruit. And it's now appearing in humans as of the late 1980s. It's never been known in human beings up until the late 1980s, and now it's appearing in men, women, children, and babies. Okay? Now, what are they? Well, the two examples are Alternaria alternata, which is a mold-causing tomato rot. You didn't know that you could go around having your tomatoes rotted in you, eh? Okay? And Chlorodium schulzeri, a fungus that only grew on wheat roots in the past. They never knew of these things growing in human beings until recently, and it's only the real tough researchers that even find this out. So, what is the problem? With depressed polys, remember those cells that fight acute infections? These are the new primary targets. Those people that are low in their white blood cells. What is the major thing that'll knock those polymorphonucleocytes or the white blood cells fighting acute infections down? It is sugar. Sugar in the morning, sugar in the evening, sugar at supper time. Remember that song? Okay? It's really phenomenal. And that's what's happening, and it's setting them up. Okay? Well, let's note some deficiency factors in humans that result in serious diseases. Blood levels of vitamin D high in fish were noted in colon cancer patients and others, showing that the more vitamin D present, the less was the risk of you getting colon cancer, one of the major horrible cancers in our society today. And the researchers, and this was in the world's biggest, most prestigious medical research journal called The Lancet, and notice this, the estimate by the researchers was that 80% of cancer of the colon is probably prevented by an adequate vitamin D level. A lot of people don't eat fish. They become narrow spectrum people. They get cancer of the bowel as a result. That's not the only thing. Eating white flour with not eating fish is even worse. Okay? So that's one of the factors that shows that a deficiency of something can result, and it's a single deficiency, can result in a serious problem in the human body. Okay? Another one. Diabetics. Placed on an adequate vitamin E, that's greater than the RNI or the recommended nutritional intake that comes out from Health Canada, will frequently discover that they must decrease their insulin intake when they are put on selenium and E. Okay? Well, what does that mean? Do you know what I have a lot of my patients do? I put them on this real good food-based broad-spectrum vitamin E with selenium, not the selenate, but the selenium, which is synthetic kind of stuff, man-made again, but you want selenomethionine from plant sources. Put them on that, and what happens? Suddenly they start getting close to an insulin reaction. Some of them have had insulin reactions. Why? Because they didn't need as much insulin. Once we put them on the vitamin E, particularly more effective if with that vitamin E you also have them on beans, peas, and lentils. Okay? But when they're on that, what's as interesting, you put them on E, suddenly they get an insulin reaction. What do they do? What's the obvious thing to do? Well, I found most of my diabetic patients, they said the obvious thing to do is get off the vitamin E so they can increase their insulin levels. They said, you know, I just kind of scratched my head and say, did it not occur to you that maybe if you didn't need insulin, you were approaching normal? Didn't seem to approach them. I don't know. I've had a lot like that, okay? But it's especially so, the vitamin E, if they're on their beans, peas, and lentils. So what are we saying? We're saying, again, that a narrow-spectrum diet, one that's missing vitamin E, can result in worsening of diabetes, another disease, and especially so if they don't increase their peas, beans, and lentils. So they needed peas, beans, and lentils. Okay. Now, asthmatics frequently have less attacks, which don't last as long and are not as severe, when they do have an attack, when their vitamin B6 is adequate. Okay. And if their essential fatty acids from fish, if their zinc and their vitamin A are also, then you can often really help an asthmatic. What's this telling us? The same thing as we talked to you before, that if you take broad spectrum intake, you have less chance for asthma. If you take broad spectrum intake, you have less chance for severe diabetes. Broad spectrum intake, less chance for what was the first one we talked about? Cancer of the colon. Absolutely. So I'm mentioning just this. I could go on with example after example, but these are just examples so that we can get through before we all freeze here. Here's an example which not only brings importance to eating correctly, but shows how by doing so, you can stop the serious effects resulting from heavy metals, etc., in our environment. Okay, here's another example. This is thyroid hypothyroidism. Look at here what I'm going to show on this, why broad spectrum is important again. If you go in and the doctor determines that you're low thyroid, what does he do? He puts you on one thing, thyroid medication up here, because you've got to increase what's known as your thyroglobulin 3, T3. And here's T4 over here. Well, T4 is the storage form of thyroid, and T3 is the active form. Now, if you're low thyroid, you want the active form to be activated, and you want to have more of it, okay? If you have a lot of this, you tend to lose fat, lose weight. If you have a lot of this, you tend to put weight on. Now, it so happens you need manganese to provide some of the synergism so that you can go from T4 to T3. Where do you get manganese from? Nuts, you've got it. Okay, you need some of that. You also need selenium and an enzyme, a selenium enzyme down here. And that enzyme has a name of type 1,5 iodothyronine deiodinase-selenium. You also need iodine. And there's the reference. I was once written by a great big company that told me, why did you say this? There is no evidence anywhere on that. So I had to refer them to here that there's the evidence and a lot of it. Okay, anyway, so you need that enzyme. And then you get a bigger movement over here. What happens? Well, fluoride, you need iodine as well, but fluoride in your water and some toothpaste will tend to knock that iodine down. Why? You remember your your grade 12 chemistry, fluoride is much more active than iodine is. And it gets to the thyroid gland first and says, I'm tougher than you are, you can't get here. And it keeps it away. And then people develop, and then the gland figures out, hey, but I need the iodine. So it starts to enlarge to try and catch more of it as it's floating around. Now, you'll find here, you need that. What pulls fluoride down? Calcium, magnesium, because the magnesium will combine with fluoride and it'll get it out of your body with insoluble magnesium fluoride. So it tends to pull it down. So you need CalMag as well in order to pull the fluoride down so that you will have iodine. I usually prescribe kelp for iodine. It's a good source. Okay? So now what have you got? Here you're going, and here it's going to be synergistic. But wait a minute. There's a couple of flies in the ointment. One of them is cadmium, which you get from the fire nipples, the cigarettes, and so on. Some teas have them. Paints and welding fumes, galvanized pipes, and some bone meals are loaded with cadmium. So you have to be careful on what company you choose some of these things from. But, so cadmium knocks it out. Well, fortunately, we can knock out the effect of this stuff by taking the sulfhydryl groups of amino acids, which are beans, peas, and lentils again. Okay? Eggs as well, garlic as well, zinc, calcium, and vitamin C. So that'll help to knock out this effect so that this arrow is gone. Now, you got another one here, mercury. You get that in shallow water fish, as already indicated by the lady over here. Hair dyes, okay? I never have to worry about hair dyes. I don't know how I would use one. And certain cosmetics have it, certain amalgams, of course, in our teeth, and certain petroleums will be high in mercury. So bingo, that goes over and wants to block that off. But again, the sulfhydryl groups of the amino acids, meaning beans, peas, lentils, eggs, garlic, selenium, and vitamin C work. Okay? Now, heavy metals in your system result in this enzyme block. And so it'll knock this enzyme down, so this line would be very much thinner anyway. Okay? So to activate the selenium enzyme, heavy metals must be removed. How do you remove them? You remove them with chelation. Again, what removes them is beans, peas, lentils, garlic, zinc, vitamin C, vitamin E, and vitamin A. Okay? And selenium. So, my conclusion here is that when you go and the doctor just gives you this, how many doctors told you about this so that you could actually yourself step on the spider or get it moving so that you can go from here to here without having to take, and they usually prescribe a synthetic product, which is narrow spectrum thyroid instead of giving you the broad spectrum one. Okay? Very intriguing. And this is the so-called, this up here is what we call a medical reductionistic approach, and that's giving thyroid medication only, and it's not the whole solution. The whole solution, and this is only part of the solution, because you can start going on here, what's going to happen to this, and how do you knock these down, and all that kind of thing, okay? You take too much copper, the zinc goes down, all of that. We're very well balanced by the Creator, provided we go according to the rules for the particular engine we've got here. Okay? When essential fatty acids, that such as found in fish or flax, are deficient, it's been found that inflammatory factors called cytokines become elevated. There's four major ones that become elevated, and I don't think anyone here is interested in their names. One of the big ones is tissue necrosis factor A. But those inflammatory factors that become elevated also as most people get older. Okay? Now, what's the big thing? Well, the big thing about that is that these inflammatory cytokines, which increase when we get older, are associated with many diseases, all the way from asthma, allergies, Alzheimer's, and you fill in all the rest down there, meaning arthritis or rheumatoid and so on, coming down to the end, psoriasis, stroke, and surgical complications, and cancer was also included. We find that in every autoimmune disease, you heard this, Hashimoto's, you got a problem with increased cytokines which cause inflammation and so on. So, what are we saying here? What can we do to stop these serious side effects? To decrease inflammatory factors associated with these diseases, it's been discovered that the essential fatty acids, as in fish and flax, foods high in vitamin K, which is horseradish and broccoli, wheat germ and primrose oil, nettle leaf, found in some saw palmettos that are out for sale there, selenium, vitamin E, N-acetylcysteine. Now, cysteine is an amino acid very high in eggs, and a precursor to DHA, since we can't in Canada buy it like they can in the States, just over the counter without prescription or anything. In Canada, the precursor is progesterone cream from wild yam. And all of that is effective in not only decreasing the acid state in our body, the inflammatory state, but it slows down the rate at which you're aging. You can tell Monica's been on it because she refuses to age for the last 25 years. I see she looks exactly the same as her pictures were then. Incredible. I always tell patients, I know a lady who's refused to age. Okay? One of the things, this is what you need. Okay? Those of you that say, well, wait a minute, woman, saw palmetto is for men's enlarged prostates. But did you know what else saw palmetto is for? Well, I'll tell you. This always reminds me of the joke. And the joke was this. A man went into a lady's lingerie shop and he wanted to get a bra for his wife. And he was very embarrassed, didn't know how, and of course it's a lady in there anyway. And she says, what are you after? What piece of clothing? And he finally gets it out. Well, it's a bra, and all red-faced and so on. So anyway, she comes and she says, okay, well, let's start with something. Grapefruit, smaller or larger? Oh, smaller. Oh, okay. Oranges, no smaller. Lemons? No, smaller. She says, eggs? She says, yes, fried. Which reminds me of another one. I rarely can remember jokes, but anyway. Saw palmetto tends, for women who are fried eggs, it tends to make them a little bigger. Okay? So they often don't know that. Which reminds me of the other joke about the two Scotsmen from Calgary, and they only could afford one of them to go back to Scotland. And he said, okay, we haven't been there for years and years, but when you go there, you have to tell me when you come back, whoever wins our toss-up goes has to tell the other person everything they know about. Well, when Jock got back, he was talking to, what's another Scots name, dear? Sandy, that's a good one. So Jock is telling Sandy, and he's telling them, he says, oh, yes, and you remember Wee Genie? He says, oh, you mean Wee Genie that lived down the road from the store? Yes, that one. You should see her now. He goes, oh, she's really grown up that much, has she? He says, oh, no, it's arthritis. Okay. Yeah, okay. Well, anyway, simply shows that making our intake broad as contrasted to narrow spectrum, we may decrease as well as escape certain illnesses such as the cancer of the colon that we mentioned with vitamin D and so on. Now, the Creator supplied us with broad spectrum content foods. We will never find a narrow spectrum food in nature. Contrast now the ascorbic acid with the next slide. Ascorbic acid is a narrow spectrum product. Can be taken from potato peels. Can be taken from any source, but if you take just the ascorbic acid out of it, you get a narrow spectrum vitamin C. If you get a broad spectrum vitamin C, let's have a look at what it looks like. There it is. There's just some of the things in a broad spectrum vitamin C. This particular one happens to be rose hips. Look, it's got some aluminum, calcium, carbohydrate, chromium, cobalt, crude fiber, dietary fiber, fat, iron, magnesium, manganese, niacin. It's pretty good for us, so niacin, phosphorus, potassium, protein, riboflavin, which is B2, of course, selenium, silica, and sodium, thiamine, tin, vitamin A, vitamin C, vitamin and zinc. Now, that is a broad spectrum vitamin C. It's got a little bit of everything in it. And no wonder broad spectrum C works a little better than the narrow spectrum. Okay? Here gives you an idea, even considering minerals alone, we discover an intricate interrelationship. Look at all the arrows, and you can see all the minerals all around there and their relationship. If the arrows are pointing to one another, it means they're antagonistic. If they're not, it means it boosts it, and you get synergism. But that's just a very interesting one, isn't it? To let you know that we're just not a simple thing, even when it comes to a simple thing like that. Okay? In summary, we've considered a few aspects of the immune system, and in particular have shown some of the products which enhance its action, as well as other factors which inhibit it, like, remember, the narrow spectrum foods. Okay? We indicated the benefits of broad spectrum supplementation to both soil, plants, animals, and humans. Okay? We remember some of them. And examples were shown of deficiencies and their corrections in animals. We also indicated the benefits, or we critiqued some expert writers, okay, to show what appeared unjust in criticizing those offering supplements and organic produce. We got to admire the capabilities of cows in producing more than milk. And we indicated how certain deficiencies had a strong link to some more serious diseases. Also was mentioned the inflammatory products that were associated with many diseases and aging. And we also gave you a little hint as to how you can reverse some of the inflammation. Incidentally, cumin powder, cumin, you know that, Sir Cumin, cumin flavoring? Excellent anti-inflammatory. So is quercetin. Quercetin you get from apple peels and the outer three or four layers of an onion. They're also good for anti-inflammation. Okay? The products, we pointed out some products that aid in fighting the inflammations, and also the associated illnesses were listed. Remembering that the list also aids in slowing down of aging. If you eat right, you don't age very fast.